This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, I heard that powerful right in here. Don't know where that was. I think it was right there, but thank you very much for that. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Resurrection Sunday. As I said, we looked at the life of Jesus. Many of us can relate. We talked in the beginning a few weeks back. There was a defining moment for Jesus in his ministry. There was also in this last week a defining moment for Jesus as he came into Jerusalem with a great fanfare. All that excitement about paying off the church, I'm a little dried out here. There's a fanfare when he came in to Jerusalem. The great triumphant entry. That's his defining moment for this week. But then right away there's temptation or there's a devil at work. And he walks into the temple and they're using that thing. He said, it's a den of thieves. And he starts flipping over the tables of the money changers and chasing them out of there. Then there was rejection. He was doing things in the tabernacles. And they were saying, hey, what are you doing this? On what authority? So all of a sudden now he's being questioned. His authority is being rejected. And he has to overcome that. And he overcomes that and continues to heal people and teach during that next week. Or during several days of it at least. And then he has new friends as he comes into town. He's got all these new friends and they're all saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to David, woohoo! Hosanna in the highest. All new friends. But then his good works were attacked. We started out several weeks ago during the initial start of his ministry. He went through these same things. And now his new friends, some of them are no longer saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. But his new friends are now saying, what? Crucify him, crucify him. Pontius Pilate tried diligently to release him. But he fell to the will of the people, as we talked about last week. He didn't do his will. He didn't do the Father's will. He did the will of the people. And so now Jesus is crucified. The Bible tells it, and you don't have to necessarily go there. I'm just going to read a little scripture out of each one of the Gospels. Starting in John 19, verse 30. And when Jesus is on the cross, he says, I thirst. And it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine that they gave him, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. I can't read my own writing. I'm trying diligently. Oh, I wrote the wrong scripture. That's why. Luke 23, verse 46. I don't know what I was writing there. But he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Mark chapter 15. I'll read a few more verses here. Verse 33 through 39. Says, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by him, when they heard that, said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, and they put it on a reed, and they offered it to him. And they said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And as Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last, then the veil of the temple was torn. Mark chapter 15. Is that what I just read? Yes, it is. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 through 54. And it says this. It says the same thing. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some said he is calling down Elijah. Where they heard that, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge. And they filled it with sour wine. And they put it on a reed and offered it to him. And the rest said, let him alone. Let him see if Elijah will come to him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And he yielded up his spirit at this point. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked. And the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, they saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and they feared greatly. And they said, truly, this was the Son of God. After the fact, they said, oh, I guess that was him. My point is, the different gospels have different aspects of his crucifixion, of the events leading up to that, of his arrest in the garden, of his betrayal by Judas, his denial from Peter. Remember last week we said, Peter said, oh, no. They'll all deny me. Those poor weak ones, the weak disciples, they'll deny you. Jesus, but never me. We must be careful where we stand or where we think we stand. Because trust me, if I climbed up on this pedestal, I guarantee the fall would be great. The devil sneaks in there. Little by little, when you think you're high and mighty, he sneaks in there. When you think you're lowly, he slinks in there, slips in there, finds his way in there. You know, my wife burned some of the brush yesterday that we had cut down quite some time ago. And finally, she burned some of that. When I got home later, I joined in the burning festivities. I watched it. And I said, look how much yard we have now. And there was a pole out there by the fence. And I said, I used to mow on that side of the pole. Now I'm mowing 3, 4, 5 feet on this side. And she said, the devil's just like that. He slips in little by little. Not always fast, not always in a major way, but little by little, the devil will sneak in. And year after year, I watched that pole disappear and watched it disappear into the brush. But you know what? He took mine. He took what was mine. And he took it, and we can't allow that. We cannot allow him to take our children, our parents, our friends, our family, our neighbor. We can't allow the devil to take what is ours and to take what belongs to God. And we sure as heck better be praying, God, you better keep me. The only thing I want to be secured to and chained to is you. I don't want to be chained to my sin. I don't want to be chained to my past. I want a future. I want my yard back. But you know what? There's going to be a scar there, isn't there, Cindy? There's going to be a black scar over that for a while. When we give up and let the devil get what's ours, there's going to be a scar. I've got another spot in my yard where I burned last year. There's a little bit of a scar, but guess what? It's green again. It's growing again. We can get past failure. We can get past defeat. We can get past those things that were taken from us. Now, I want you to listen to today's message out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. This is what Easter's all about. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And they're going to visit Jesus in his tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended down from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I envision them going to where Jesus was buried. And a giant earthquake and the stone being rolled away. And now envision an angel sitting on top of that stone. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him. You see, it's not just the ladies that went to visit, but it's the guards that were sent there as well. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, not the guards, but the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." And they went and looked in there. He said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you so." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I don't know what that looks like, but I imagine that is a panicked, hurried mess. To run out of there with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And they said, "We went there where he was. There was a great earthquake. The stone is now rolled away. We met an angel." Now, I found it interesting that the angel didn't speak to the guards, probably just left them in fear for their lives. They probably ran fearing, but no great joy in them. It says, "And then they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met him saying, rejoice." At the end of my message, I have two things for you out of the scripture that we're going to read today. And I want you to remember these things as we read them. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them." And what did he tell them to do? Have mercy. What did he tell them to do?
Rejoice.
There we go. But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the rejoice. You want to be reserved in church, I understand. Now rejoice. Rejoice. He gets it. All right, I love it. You guys get it too. And Jesus said, "Rejoice." So they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now listen. "While they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened." I can imagine the response they got. "No, really, this earthquake came, the stone rolled away, and an angel appeared and talked to the ladies." And they're going, "Yeah, right, you just didn't want to guard the grave." "When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. And they said, tell them, his disciples came at night and they stole him away while he was asleep. And if this comes to the governor's, if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Now in the Gospel of Matthew here, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Some doubted. Remember Thomas? He said, "Oh, no. There's no way you guys are coming and telling me this." And I think about all the disciples, all the deceit that they feel or thought. Could you imagine being one of the disciples and they came and told you, or you're going to tell Thomas, and he says, "I don't believe you. We've spent all this time together. We've been with Jesus. We come and report that he's alive. And your first thought is, 'I don't believe you. Not till I see the holes in his hands am I going to believe that.'" Hang on, let me flip back here for just a minute. Mark chapter 16, verse 6 says this: "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and you will see him there as he said to you previously.' So they went quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Jesus had talked about the resurrection. He said, "I will rise in 3 days." They didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't believe it. They didn't understand. "What are you telling me?" There's two things in here. You know, I said I have two things for you at the end of the message. When Jesus talked to them, what did he say when he saw the ladies? He said, "Rejoice." When they went to visit him at the grave, the angel said, "He's not here. He is risen." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, how did that happen? Write this down. This is our message today. Our God is able. Our God is able. When I read the scriptures, you know, I talked to a guy at work, a couple people at work actually, that had kind of the same question, but one came to me and said, "Y'all ready for your Easter message?" I said, "I've been working on this for a few months." He said, "Few months? Is it not the same message each year?" I said, "Well, the resurrection is. You see, that doesn't change." But I try and look and say, what can I pull out of this? What do I see differently? And I start reading. And again, I go through each gospel and you're looking at different things. And two things stood out to me. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. How? Our God is able. And then Jesus, when he saw them, said this: "Rejoice." That sounds pretty simple. Our God is able, and rejoice. But I'm here to tell you it's not that simple. Because like the ladies, it said they ran and they had fear and joy. Some of us can't multitask. We can't have fear and joy while we're going about our business. I give up joy. Fear is so much easier. It comes so natural to me. I'll just fear. We've been through things. We've done things. Let me go back to my notes. Just like Jesus, we had defining moments. We had these great things in our life that took place. I was married. I had a job. I had kids. My marriage ended in divorce. I lost my job. My kids don't speak to me. Whatever it is. I'm just saying that I know we go through things. We go through stuff, and we have stuff in our life, do we not? We have a great amount of stuff in our life. It's how we sort that out. Think about, some of us are hoarders to the stuff we have in life. What do I do? Well, I need to make some piles then. Keep, revisit, see if I really need to keep it, get rid of. And we have to do a little inventory of our life. As I talked about a few weeks ago, we talked at Ground Zero with the teens about sometimes replacing habits. They aren't bad, evil, dirty habits. They're habits that pull us away from God. He has a desire for us to come together as a body of believers and fellowship. After this service, we will have a fellowship meal. It's good to fellowship. You can't get that when you watch TV religion, radio religion. And there's nothing wrong with those things to assist you along the way. But they don't replace coming together and being lifted up by one another. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. I thought it was interesting. When Jesus was put in the tomb, Matthew 27, verse 62. It says, on the next day which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate. And they said, sir, remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver, they called Jesus the deceiver, how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come and take it, or take his body by night, and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. It happened anyway, didn't it? But not for that reason. So the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a guard there. They wanted to make sure nothing's going to happen here. I want to make sure that somebody isn't going to take my Jesus away. Nothing changes year after year with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What changes is what we get out of it. And what we get today, what I want you to get today are two things. It happened because our God is able. And then Jesus said, rejoice. In the midst of whatever you are going through, whatever you are dealing with, rejoice. I'll close with this scripture, Matthew 19, verse 23. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. His disciples, having heard this, they were greatly astonished. And they said, who then can be saved? But Jesus said this, with men, this is impossible. The resurrection, with men, it would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. The resurrection is possible. Rejoicing in the midst of what you are going through is possible. Because of the goodness of God, All things are possible, and all things are possible for each and every one of you. Don't think it can't happen, Adam. I've lost too much. I've suffered too much. I have been chained up too long. That yard started creeping little by little. When you are freed from that chain, you want to stop here where the chain ended, but little by little, you will start creeping away from that chain and the end of that chain, and more things will be possible for you. This is the good news of the gospel, that our God is able, and He's willing to do it for you. Church, we are paid off because our God is able. He's able to make that happen, and able to make it happen 10 months earlier than projected, or at least to put down on paper. No matter what you're facing today, know that our God is able. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is a day you can make that happen. And He no longer is your God, meaning theirs. He becomes your personal God. And He is able to do that for you as well. And no matter what you're going through, rejoice. Why? Because our God is able to do this. As you think of the resurrection, think it happened because our God is able. With God, all things are possible. And as you walk out these doors to face life outside of this church, rejoice. As I pray, I'm also going to pray for our meal so we can get that ahead of time. And we pray that you'll stay and enjoy fellowship with us in the midst of this beautiful place. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the resurrection message today. Lord, it doesn't change year after year. God, it's the same message. But reveal to us something new today. Reveal to us that with God all things are possible, which made the resurrection possible. Reveal to us that we can rejoice even though we may hold on to some fear. God, today I give thanks for this building being paid off, God. We rejoice in that. We thank you for that, and I thank you for those that came before us. God, what a blessing that is to be able to focus on your work now. God, today we give thanks also for the meal that we're about to enjoy. Partake of. I thank you for the hands that have prepared it. God, help us. Help us be mindful of those that don't have food to eat today. God, we have a sign in the kitchen that says, anything you don't want to take home with you today, leave it so that we can feed the homeless. Lord, let us be mindful and our wealth, and our riches, and our possessions, that others don't have those, and to be mindful of them. God, let us rejoice today in the knowledge of the resurrection. Let us rejoice today in the knowledge of a debt-free building. Let us rejoice today in your presence of fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters. Let us focus today on the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.